Like I said, I wanted to start a new series this week that was going to be kind of looking at where we've come as a church, looking at the early days with Tim Crouch. And they don't know yet, but I'm interviewing John later this week. Going to talk to him a little bit about, hey, talk to me about the early days. Tell me about what was the heartbeat. And then we're going to build from that, talking about who we are and where we're going. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians 2:10, but I'm not going to jump too far ahead. So we're still in Mark. That's where we are. We're still in Mark. So you guys are like, but anyway, so we're still in Mark, and we're going to have some fun today. So let's see. Let's get into it. Hold on a second. All right. So if you guys read your news, my news junkie. Where are my news junkies? Do I have any news junkies here? Like, you look in the news every day. Anybody here, who watches the news at least, or looks at the news at least once a day? Okay, good, okay. All right. So you may or may not have seen something written about Ozzy Osbourne. You saw Ozzy? You saw Ozzy Osbourne? What's that? Ozzy Osbourne has this, nobody's going to care. Anyway, Ozzy Osbourne is leaving. By the way, if you don't know who Ozzy is, he's like a rocker from like the 70s and 80s. In a band called Black Sabbath. He sung the song called Crazy Train. Right? Like, so you may or may not have heard of Ozzy. He had a TV show. By the way, do not read the article. It is not safe for work because he's very expressive when he talks. So anyway, Ozzy Osbourne has decided to leave the U.S. He says he's leaving the U.S. He's fed up with people getting killed every day. That's what he said. Right? Who here does not care? By the way, yeah, I know. He's from England in the first place. He became a U.S. citizen, but he's deciding to go back, right? So, by the way, I'm not here one way or the other. But when I was reading the article, and by the way, I don't put a lot of faith in what celebrities say or do. I frankly do not care. But the article grabbed my attention, and I started to read it, and there was one statement, Sharon, his wife, which, by the way, another one, I really doesn't mean anything to me, but she said something that I couldn't help actually see some truth in it. She says, America has changed so drastically, and there's nothing united about it. Whether or not you agree with Ozzy Lee, there's a little bit of truth, or what I actually think there's a lot of truth in that statement. America is not united. I mean, we've seen... from standpoints, from politics to opinions, we are polarized a lot of the time. And this is going to be a little bit hard for me. I'm going to have to explain this. I found a graph. So we have a two-party system here in the United States, and our two-party system, I believe, couldn't get any further apart at this time. It just seems like all we're doing is fighting with one another. But there's this Pew Research came out with this amazing article where it shows us what the other party thinks of the other party, right? So let me see if I can pull this up. All right. So you'll see here, right? So the blue are what Democrats say of Republicans. The red is what Republicans say of Democrats. Does that make sense? So the Republicans are saying that the Democrats are more closed-minded, right? Am I right in saying that? No. The Democrats saying the Republicans are more closed-minded. So you see, there's one here that is absolutely, do you see the one that's absolutely across the board the same? Do you look at that one? Both think the other one's unintelligent, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, right? Like, it couldn't be any more like just getting emotionally charged, and Liz, you've seen it, people getting emotionally, you start talking politics around the dinner table, people get emotionally charged. How many here just want to eat turkey for Thanksgiving and not talk about politics, right? Right? Because it doesn't do anything good, right? We just, you're like, Dad, don't bring it up. Right? And you're like, oh, don't, you know, and you're sitting there like kicking people under the table, shut up, right? Because, I mean, oh my God. And by the way, let me see if I can get out of this. Why start with something so emotionally charged this morning, right? Because, like some of you are probably like, ooh, I want to talk about this. Some of you are like, I do not want to talk about this here. By the way, you will never hear me endorse any one side of an issue. Well, you will hear me endorse one side, Jesus. Like, you're going to always hear me. I guarantee you, you're going to hear me talk about Jesus today. You're never going to hear me side with one way or the other. Why? Because I don't believe that this is a platform by which I should spew any type of opinion, right? I don't. This platform is something holy. This platform is something that has meant God. I don't know if you believe this or not, but what I believe is what God gives me, God actually speaks through me to you, and I take that very, very seriously. So I always double check. Am I leading with my opinion? Am I leading with anything other than biblical values? So just be aware, I'm always, always double checking myself. Anyway, why start off with something so emotionally charged when we talk about politics this morning? Because in the verse that we're in today, in Mark chapter 12, there are a group of people that look very similar to our landscape in our ununited states of America. So if you have your Bible, turn to, now that I have really have your attention, this is great. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 13, and we're going to take a look at two groups that actually did get united, and we'll find out how they get there, whether it was right or wrong. Anyway, let's take a look. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 13. This is what you get. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we pay?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius." He looked at it, and look, let me look at it. He brought up the coin to him and asked him whose image. He asked them whose image and whose inscription. "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what's God." And they were amazed at him. Kind of an odd passage here, right? Like, I'm trying, but these are passages I probably normally wouldn't preach on, but I'm preaching, going through every verse. And so this is something that God desires for us. So I had to kind of like dig a little deeper. And so we have to take a little bit of closer look at this passage. There's two groups coming to Jesus. By the way, if you're going to see that in Mark, it started with the chief priest. And then it's going to go to the Pharisees and then the Sadducees. It's going to keep going. It just kind of keeps kind of building. And eventually he'll be before the Sanhedrin the night that he's betrayed. But anyway, let's take a look at the two people. What do we have here? Pharisees and Herodians, right? What in the world? Like, by the way, I'm not going to bore you guys. I'm not going to like bore you guys with. But there's something you need to know about the Pharisees and the Herodians, right? Pharisees, now you probably know this. They're all about the law of Moses. Right? I've shared with that before. They're about the law. The law, the law, the law. Oh, the Bible, the scriptures say don't do this. They're not going to do that. In fact, they're going to put perimeters around their lives to make sure they don't do that. We're not called to work on the Sabbath. We're only going to take 50 steps on the Sabbath. And if you take more than 50 steps, gosh forbid, you heal somebody, now you've just made an enemy of the Pharisees. The Herodians, there we go. The Herodians are all about the government. They actually thought that the Greek and Roman presence in Jerusalem was a really good thing. And so you have these two groups that were at odds with one another. One says, there is no reason why Rome should be here. The other one says, hey, Rome's presence is absolutely fantastic. And now they are diametrically opposed to one another. In fact, they did not like each other at all. Like, they want nothing to do with the other person. Does that sound familiar to anything I've talked about so far today, right? Like, we want nothing. But you take a look at these guys. They come to Jesus, and they start asking a question, right? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar? Shouldn't we or should we? Now, that might not mean anything to you. But here's the deal. If Jesus said we shouldn't pay the tax, the Herodians are like, hey, he's not paying the tax, arrest him. By the way, you look at the next verse. They're trying to catch Jesus in his words. And if you go to Luke, it says they pretended to be sincere, hoping to catch Jesus in something he said so they might hand him over to the power of the governor. So if he said to not pay taxes, they would hand him over to Caesar. If he said we should pay taxes, the Pharisees would see, like, he's all about Rome and not about the temple. Jesus was going to be trapped. So they're trying to get Jesus to say something so they can arrest him. It's all a ploy. There's like a political plot involved. That's what's going on. And here's the deal. They can't stand each other, but they do become united. They're united in hatred for Jesus. And my biggest fear, listen, my desire is that my kids grow up in this country. And maybe you have the same dream for the future of your kids, to experience the freedoms and the amazing truths that so many have given their lives for in this country. And the reality is what, you know, as we look forward, what are we leaving? What's the legacy that we're giving our children? Are we united with something that actually is meaningful, or are we just united in hatred to another political party? Or are we just united in, listen, hey, we can become united. Absolutely. Listen, we're both united in the fact that we think the other party's stupid, right? We're united. But are we being united in a better way? And listen, I'm not here telling you to change your party affiliation. But what I am saying is there has to be a better way. There has to be something. There has to be. Because here's two groups that were diametrically apart, but they were united on hating Jesus. And we need to take a look at the thing that Jesus aligned himself with. Right? Jesus didn't go one way or the other. In fact, he's brilliant. And you're gonna his response. They were all amazed at his response. And so there has to be a better way, and that's my question for us. Because the reality is people are, with the news outlets and you name it, people are trying to pull us in all different types of directions all the time. And by the way, just spoiler alert for all my dear friends out there and all those listening on the internet, you will never win an argument in a Facebook debate. I'm just telling you right now. Has anybody ever changed somebody's mind on Facebook when they they sent you a private message? Thank you so much for telling me my opinion was wrong. Did it ever work out for anybody? Did it really? Are you serious? Okay, if you're not Brandy, okay? Brandy's out sharing the gospel with people. I love it. But Brandy's the exception. What's that? But like, oh my gosh, for the most part, with the exception of Brandy, there's probably a pretty good chance you're not going to win another person over. So that means there has to be something better. And if we look at Jesus and the way that how he handled this situation, by the way, both people coming to him, united with hatred around him, how did he handle it? What did Jesus align himself with? Jesus aligned himself with the Father. That's where Jesus was. Completely aligned, not one way, not the other, but straight and narrow, united to the Father. His hopes, his desires, his loves, his word. Jesus was completely united to the Father. And I need you to take a look. What they say about him says a lot. Go back to that verse here. Take a look. Look what they say about Jesus. We know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach in the accordance of truth, right? Like, but do you think they meant any of that, by the way? They didn't, by the way. But you know what they say about sarcasm? You know what they say about sarcasm? 75% of sarcasm is what? Darn believe it, right? There's a chance. Do you ever like walk away when someone's sarcastic? You're like, I think they really meant that. You know, like, we do it all the time, right? Like, oh my gosh. And like, you think about it for like, well, if you're me, you think about it for like days after the fact, right? And then you gotta call them up. Can you explain to me what you meant by? But like, seriously, some bit of sarcasm is true. And whether or not they meant to say it, because I can kind of hear it with this kind of like sleazy, greasy kind of like fit. We know that you're a man of integrity. Like they're like, like whatever. They're grinding their teeth as they're saying it. There was some truth into it as well. You're a man of integrity. You're not swayed by others, and you speak in accordance to the truth. That's pretty awesome. And like I said, in our world of 24-hour news outlets and biased papers, everybody's trying to sway our opinions. And Jesus was not swayed. He stayed true to a common purpose and theme, the love of the Father. I'm not going anywhere else. Here's the deal. Hey, they're like, hey, side with me so this person can kill you. Hey, side with me so that person can kill whatever. He's like, no. No, my devotion is to the Father, and that's what comes first, right? And so does our devotion to the Father come first in all things? All I'm saying is just put a pulse. Put a pulse on ourselves sometimes. What do we align ourselves with? Because, man, can you imagine if somebody spoke this over you? You're a man or a woman of integrity. You're not swayed by any other person. And everything that you do is in accordance with the truth. I don't know about you, but I could not think of a better compliment to have over my life. Can you imagine somebody wrote that in a card to you? You'd be like, whoop. Like you would tuck it away and read it on bad days. And whether or not they meant it, Jesus lived it. Why? Because he didn't go one way. He didn't go the other. He stayed true to the Father. And so all I want is maybe to allow the Father's love, his love for you, his love for others, the truth that he lives in all the time, to begin to permeate our lives so much so that we don't align ourselves with anything other than the Father. And watch as that begins to change who we are and how people perceive us too. And I got three things this morning that you're going to see. And it's all coming from this passage, the sarcasm of the two groups. Integrity, swaying opinions, and the truth. We're going to take a look at all three of these. But maybe you're this morning and you're like, Matt, right. Or well, I don't know. Maybe you're this morning like, how dare you? Maybe you want me. Maybe you're going to write a letter to the elders. I don't know what you're going to do here today. I'm not sure. But what I desire is I want to pray for you and for me to make sure that the only thing that I align myself with is the will of the Father and to be a person that looks a lot like Jesus. And if that's you, then I would invite you to pray with me, to join me, and ask the Holy Spirit to help me accomplish this today and help you accomplish this as well. So let's go before the Holy Spirit now. Lord, I am not making a political statement. I'm making a biblical argument that we are called to be focused on you at all times, in all seasons, in all headlines, in all emotionally charged and fueled topics. We are called to put you first in all things. To be men and women who live with integrity, who aren't pushed one way or the other, but who are planted and rooted in truth that we speak, that we say, that we articulate, that we live, that we share. And so, Lord, guide and lead us today in this. I ask that you would just guide me to have wisdom to share from my heart, that I would challenge what you desire for our people to hear and me to hear as well. And I thank you for your love that is on display today. And I thank you for just Lord, I thank you for our country, and I will pray for our country every day. I thank you for the freedoms that we have here. I thank you for the men and the women who have given their lives for this country and who believe in who we are. But Lord, to be the best of who we are is not going to be done by just sitting on with our arms folded. But what will really, to get the best, to get your will, is to be aligned with you so that we can look a lot like your Son. Father God, guide and lead us today. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the first thing I want you to know is aligned integrity. Like aligning ourselves with integrity. What a great compliment. By the way, if you were to actually take this, the NIV says integrity. If you're looking at the ESV, you're going to see that the people actually say that Jesus is a man. Hey, we know that you are a man of truth. Right? That's what he says. Right? Sorry. We all want to be truthful people, right? If there's one thing I hate, and maybe be like you, it's when people aren't themselves or not truthful with me, right? There's one thing when you have little kids. There's one, I don't know about you, there's one thing I can't stand. It's being what? Lied to. Absolutely. Don't lie to me. Especially when you know it. Oh, my gosh. You saw them do that. I didn't do I knew you're lying to me right now, dude. By the way, Psychology Today says the number one reason for relationships to end is trust issues. Number one. Number one reason. Number one reason why relationships end is trust issues. If I can't trust you, I don't want to be with you. Right? Oh, my gosh. I hate when people are distrustful. Oh, like I can't believe what you tell me. And by the way, we both of these sides, the Herodians and the Pharisees, you can't trust them as far as you can throw either one of them. Right? You never know. You never know what the other person is saying. Are they truthful? Which, by the way, man, if that isn't a picture of our two-party system, I don't know what is. Like, listen, you know as well as I do, you come election season, I never know what to believe anymore. And even the deepest Google searches, it's always swayed by some, paid for by, and you're like, what? Like, I'm so-and-so, and I approve this. Of course you approve this message. It's about you. Like, what? But, like, Jesus was always trustful. Always. There was never an ulterior motive. Not once. He had the will of the Father on his heart at all times. The mission that he was sent to do, just to redeem humankind. Oh, my gosh. Like, but in today's society, we don't even know who to trust anymore. Like, there's always ulterior motives all the time. Like, has this happened to you? I know this has happened to you, right? But a person reaches out to you on maybe like a text message or a Facebook page that you haven't talked to in years, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, it's been so long. Like, oh my gosh, it's forever, right? And you'll be like, wow, have you been, right? What are they going to ask you to do? So I recently started a new business. Like, oh, I knew it. They don't care about you. They just want your money. That's what it is. All the time. I haven't. Oh, my gosh. You're like, oh, my gosh. I haven't seen this person since high school. So I just started. And you're like, bro, that sounds like a pyramid scheme. Oh, it's not a pyramid scheme. It's a total. You need me a part of this? Yes. That's the pyramid scheme, dude. Like, what don't you understand? People that are truthful. Like, you never came to Jesus and got something other than the truth. He never sold you a bill of goods. He always told you the truth. He was a man of integrity, right? When we align ourselves with the Father, right, things that matter to him matter to us all of a sudden. And that's why I'm saying, like, listen, we need to focus ourselves and align ourselves wholly to the Father. Because all of a sudden, his heartbeat becomes our heartbeat. All of a sudden, the things that he cares about is what I want to care about. Now I don't see a person across the aisle as some evil, like, nasty, disgusting person. I see a person who needs Jesus. And you know what I do? I look around and I see people in my own camp. I'm like, man, all these people need Jesus, right? Because we begin to align ourselves with the Father. And all of a sudden, our perceptions change. And we need to be people of truth. And so all I'm saying is I want every single person, when Faith Alliance goes out into the world, that we are people of integrity, people of truth. No one's going to find deception in our eyes, our hearts, or in their ears, wherever. That we are people aligned with truth. And by the way, if you notice, Jesus is popular. You have these two people. And by the way, the temple system is going awful. There's revolts happening with the Herodians all the time. But Jesus' popularity is growing and growing and growing. And why is that? Because it was something so different from what had existed in that place at that time. And so all I'm desiring is that the church put its best foot forward and be the people he's called us to be, people of truth and integrity. And that will only happen when we align ourselves with the Father and no one else. So number one, aligning yourself with integrity means to align yourself with the Father. Number one. Number two, a firm footing. They say to him, you aren't swayed by others because you know you pay no attention to who they are, right? I've already shared this, but I'll share it again. I seriously dislike election season. I don't know about you. Maybe this is like your time to shine, right? This is awesome. I'm going to, you know, every 10 seconds is another political ad. So-and-so, did you know back in, and like, you look at some of the little, like, and you're like, 1998? Like, that was like, it's like a video from 1998, them talking, and you're like, that was like, how long ago? Like, oh my, like 30 years ago. Like, I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago, for Pete's sakes. But notice what they say, like, you don't know. Like, people are always, what they do, the election season is all about trying to push you either to their camp or trying to dissuade the person so that you don't vote for them. That's all it is. We call it mudslinging. And it can get nasty. But notice what they say about Jesus. You aren't swayed by others. Like, nobody is changing who you are. And by the way, like, it's okay to change your mind. It's okay. Like, I'm not telling you need to be a stick in the mud. You can change your mind about things, right? Like, I had to come to the truth. I had to come to the truth, right? I needed to, like, accept what was true. Like, I, for the longest time, thought that Sheetz was a better hoagie. And I've seen the light. Listen, all you Chester and Delconians have changed my mind, right? For the better. Right? Thank Jesus, right? Thank Jesus. Like, listen, a wogey, nice. An Italian hoagie from Wawa slaps, man. That thing is awesome. It slaps. What's the, are you a Sheetz guy? Okay, because I was going to kick you out. Anyway. Oh, my. we're going to align ourselves with integrity today, Mark. I'm kidding. It's all in fun. But listen, there is some really awful time, especially when it comes to election season. By the way, the worst election season, by the way, was not in any recent years. They say the worst election mudslinging campaign was back in 1828. John Quincy Adams and Andrew Jackson, right? By the way, in 1828, Adams supporters attacked Jackson's family, calling his dead mother a common prostitute brought to this country by British soldiers, right? Like, don't get me wrong, I think we've come a long way from that, in just my opinion. Because what they were trying to do is saying, no, you need to, like, they're trying to sway the public opinion about an individual. And if they can sway the public opinion, what they can do is begin to change your opinion, change your mind, and sway your thoughts. But, rather, Jesus brought new breath in the lives of everyday people. People who thought they were no good. People who went to the temple. This is why Jesus got so mad. They went to the temple having an experience with God, and they were told, you don't have enough money. No, if you really want your sins forgiven, what you really need is not the doves that the law says, but this great little calf or this lamb with no blemishes. Oh, boy, what's the price tag on that? Well, funny you should ask. You know, Jesus brought this breath of fresh air that a rabbi truly cared about people. And he was not swayed by anybody's opinion. Today, the world is trying to convince you that God doesn't exist. That's the culture in which we live. Both sides, everybody, between you name it, scientists, whoever, and I'm not, there are great Christian scientists, by the way, but there is a culture out there trying to tell you that God doesn't exist. Jesus stood aligned with the Father, and he was rooted, he was planted, and nothing was uprooting him. Why? because he was completely dedicated to the Father, and nothing was changing his mind. The deepest tragedies. Listen, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Jesus' worst moment, he said, Lord, if there's another way, can we make this happen? There's not. Your will be done. And goes to the cross to save all of humanity. When you plant and align yourself with the Father, the biggest, listen, I don't know how people get through major tragedies without God. I don't know how they do it. That we are so aligned with the Father that the, listen, we're going, me and the kids are going through Job right now. They're like, Dad, this guy's had an awful life. I'm like, yeah, it's really bad. But the one thing he never does is give up on God. He completely aligned himself in the biggest tragedy. He focused and doubled down on what was true. The Father. And so, as people of integrity, we're meant to make sure that nothing pulls us away from the truth of who God is. And it's part of who we are. And nothing's taking it away. So first thing, aligned integrity, a firm footing, and then finally, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. To be people who are truthful here today. I've had to recently watch how I respond as a chaplain sometimes. To be people who are truthful. You know, I see people in pretty difficult circumstances when I'm fire scenes, accidents, you know. And I had a guy pull me aside one time. He's like, hey, you need to stop telling people that it's going to be okay. Because there's a chance it might not be okay. But people are going to be okay in the not being okay. Like, they're going to find a way to move on. But to give them false hopes is kind of leading them astray. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty good rebuke. Now, I'm not going in there being like, oh, well, you know, like, hey, sorry for your luck. Like, a level of compassion goes a long way too. But to be people who are truthful and to speak the truth in love. Hey, I care about you enough to tell you the truth. And that's what Jesus did. You speak the word of God in accordance with the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm going to tell you the truth. Now remember, by the way, before I send out my truth people out here to tell people what they really think of each other, right? Remember, Peter says, always be ready for the answer by which you have, but do so with gentleness and kindness. By the way, you're not off the hook being a monster to other people. I guess, you know what, my pastor told me I could tell you something today. Like, that's not how this works. Jesus never spoke anything but the truth, and he did it with grace. Remember, Jesus came full of truth and grace, and he was this beautiful picture of God's love, right? But I truly believe that we've lost truth in our society today. What is truth? In fact, if you go to John chapter 18, Jesus said to Pilate, this kingdom is not of this world, and if it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest from the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate's like, what is truth? What does it matter to you? What is truth? Truth, if you want the answer, is whatever God says about anything, by the way. Here's a mind-blowing concept. Whatever God says about anything now becomes the truth. I don't know if you, like, God only speaks truth because he is truth. And so no matter what he says about a matter, makes that matter truth. Like, so even if, not that this would happen, but even if God said something that wasn't true, that thing that wasn't true would now be truth, because whatever God says is truth. Like, put that in your morning coffee for a minute. Like, just, because God is fully truth. God is just, that's who he is. And being that he's God, whatever he says is truth. Anyway, back up a minute. Just know, the truth is whatever God says about it, and he's already given us a clear-cut picture, and it's never changing, never ending, and nothing's being added to it or being taken away to it. He's given us all the truth we need. And truth is truth, and look what happens when Jesus speaks the truth. He said, give back to Caesar's what's Caesar's, Give God what's God's. They were amazed at the truth. I think sometimes in a society, we can listen to so many lies that when we actually hear something that's true, it like takes our breath away for a moment. Like, oh my gosh, you're right. Truth is truth. And the truth is the Word of God. There's not much that we can hold on to today. Everything in this world is slipping through our fingers as we look. But the Word of God, the things that we can hold on to, is truth, and it's never departing. It's never going away. And when we align ourselves with the Father, we have promises. We have promises that He's made. If you search for me with all your heart, you're going to what? Find me. Right? I have a hope and a what for you? Jeremiah 29:11, a future. Right? You are God's craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that I prepared in advance for you to do, Ephesians 2:10. God has an amazing work for you. These are truths. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that those who believe in Him shall not what? But have eternal life. These are truths, and they are found one place. In here, in what God says. And when we align ourselves with, listen, if I align myself with anything other than God, I am going to fall short, because I cannot hang anything worth of any salt anybody else says. But I can guarantee you, if God said it, it's absolutely true. So, this morning, we have an opportunity to make a decision here today. And in my opinion, the only way that we are going to find ourselves united as a people, as a church, as a country, is to align ourselves with what is true. That might mean some things that we think are like top of the pile, like, newsworthy things that I've made my life about may have to take a back seat and elevate the things that Jesus believes to be 100% important. And the first thing that is aligning ourselves with the Father and finding what He gives. We walk out with, listen, if that happens, I guarantee you will find yourself being a person of integrity. And I mean just staying true to the course, not just today, but a life dedicated to the Father, aligned to Him, will have a life that is going to be completely one of integrity. Two will be that, you know what, I'm going to keep my eyes on Him, that nothing's going to sway me, and I will be a person who will know the truth, the promises that He's told me, the promises that I hold on to. And in my hope, this is maybe me pie in the sky, just pastor thinking. The more we do that as a church, as a people, as a country, the better place we leave for the ones that are coming after us. Believe it or not, like, there are babies being born right now that are going to lead this country someday. And the question is, what are we leaving them? A fractured, broken, angry people? Or people who are full of integrity? Who are devoted to one holy thing, and that is God. And honestly, a people who are truthful, that when we say it, they believe it. That's the legacy I want to leave to my kids. That's the country I want them to find themselves growing up in. That's the country I want their kids playing in. And so the question is, who do we align ourselves with today? Let's pray. Lord, this is not a scathing rebuke, but maybe a wake-up call. This is an opportunity for us to refocus and reshift. And if we've made our lives maybe holy to one thing or the other, what we're called to do is to take a breath and pause and align ourselves wholly and fully to the will of God and to see You move so mightily in our life. And so thank You for today. Thank You for the opportunity. Thank You for the wisdom that I believe has come from You. because what I want is for us to look more and more like you every day. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity. And I do pray for the future that we are leaving, the legacy that we leave to our children. May it be one where they grow up in a world where they are known and loved, where the truth is spoken, where they are rooted in your love so much so that nothing can sway them from that love. And they can find themselves as individuals who are full of truth and integrity. Go before us, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for this truth. And thank you for your love that is on display here in this room and by the work that the Holy Spirit is doing today. Solidify it. Sanctify it. Make it your own. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.